News Radio WJPF, Joe Richardson is joining us this morning, and I could just say Joe, and then we really got to fill this in because this guy's got some background. First off, Joe, how are you doing this morning?
We're doing great, Tom. Thanks for having me on this morning. I really appreciate it.
Hey, Joe, what year did you go to SIU?
I was at SIU from 80 to 82.
Right, so I was doing morning drive on Rock 100 then, I guess. So, yeah, we were bouncing around the same time. What year did your son go to school at SIU and play baseball?
My son did not attend SIU.
Well, I thought he pitched for the team.
No, he did not. He played in high school, and that was the extent of it.
What happened to your life and your son, BJ, August 12th, 2012?
I received a phone call at 1:38 Sunday afternoon that my son had overdosed on heroin and passed.
20 years old.
20 years old, and it was a phone call no parent wants to get, and it was so hard, so tough, and you always wonder if something ever happened to a child, how you would handle it, and I can't prepare anybody, I can't tell anybody what that's like, because I didn't have any idea myself, and it was just something that you just don't expect.
Especially when it's your son, and you have so much of your hopes attached, and you know, and that, well, the people who have sons and daughters, they understand what we're talking about. And taking a phone call like that, I can't imagine what happens. Did you see in the months, days up until his death, did you see a change in BJ?
Well, we did. It was actually about 10 months prior to that, we noticed he started drinking, and then he started smoking pot. And then we've seen some more behavioral changes to where he would get angry quicker. We saw some signs of him sleeping in the middle of the day. Some other things started happening with him, lying about where he was at, not going to work, not going to school. And then we finally found out that he was doing heroin and was a heroin addict and was struggling with the heroin.
Which has got to be a shock. I mean, you're in O'Fallon, Illinois, in the Midwest, and you know, and even though we know better, we still think it doesn't happen here, wherever here is. For some reason, we always think that's somebody else, that's somewhere else, and we have to come to a certain level of conclusion that. And I mentioned this when I was talking about you coming up this morning, that it doesn't matter how small a town in southern Illinois you live in, chances are there's somebody doing heroin in your town right now and selling it too.
Correct. And what people don't understand is that heroin does not discriminate. It doesn't care where you live, how much money your dad makes, who he works for, what kind of car you drive, what kind of house you live in, what color you are. Heroin is evil. It does not discriminate. And people need to understand that it's everywhere. This is an epidemic. It's in our schools, it's in our communities, and the famous words I said myself, well, my kid would never do that, my kid would never get involved in that. That is so not true, because you don't know what your kid's being approached with and what they're being told, and nowadays kids think they're bulletproof, invincible, and it's just not going to happen that way when you get involved with heroin. This is something that you have a 7% chance of beating if you become an addict. And that is a very small percentage. You know, when we're born in life, the chances of you making it past 60 are 68%. And I tell these kids, why would you want to put something in your body and take a chance on losing your life when you don't have to?
Here's the thing, Joe. When it comes to heroin, it's everywhere. But it's also inexpensive, and it's more pure than ever. And now we have groups, gangs, who are chemists in their spare times, who are making other drugs to add to it that make fentanyl, that make it even more dangerous. And we see it everywhere. Now, when you tell this story, I got to tell you, I'm somewhere between scared of you and admiring you, because I can only imagine what you want to feel like. See, I'm an old country boy. When somebody does something like that to my family, I have a tendency to say, I'll see you in the parking lot or somewhere else. You know, I mean, an act of vengeance, you know, the mad, I'm going to find whoever that is. I'm going to track them down, and I'm going to, you know. You have decided to use this as a fuel to try to go out to reach and to stop other, which is my, by the way, the very definition of a human being, right? The person who sees it happen to them and says, I'm going to do something about this. I'm going to save my people. I'm going to go out and help. And that's what you've chosen to do along with a partner. Tell me about the Awaken Project and what you're doing now to try to help and take this horrible thing that happened to you and fuel yourself.
Well, my wife and I decided after this had happened to us that I wanted to be, and she wanted to be proactive to help in any way, shape, or form we could in our community, because we did not want to see this happen to any more kids. I definitely did not want to have to see a parent go through losing a child over this evil heroin. So I was speaking for the NCADA for a little bit, and I was speaking for 15 minutes, and I could say this, couldn't say that. And after about three or four times, I thought, you know, I just can't get out what I need to get out. So I was approached by a friend of mine, Jeff Mozingo, who owns music stores in the St. Louis area. And he said, how would you like to team up and let's go and talk at schools? And I said, I would love that. So we put together the Awaken Project, and it's a music advocacy and drug awareness program that we go and do at schools. And we were told by everybody, this will never work. But you know what? One guy said, I'll get you into Ladue High School. I'm the band director. Jeff knew him. And he got us in. He goes, you know, I got you guys a date. I got you in, but I'm just going to tell you, this will never work. This is not going to happen. So we went and did our first show at Ladue High School. And since that day, 3.5 years ago, we've been in 75 schools, 4 states, and have been asked to go internationally. And the basic premise of our show is that we base what we do off of telling kids that there's choices in life. We all have choices, whether they're good or bad. And Jeff talks about the music side that made his life what it is today, and he actually plays songs that kids know to the drums. Jeff's a phenomenal drummer.
Right.
When he's done drumming, he'll share statistics and talk about how it helps kids with math skills and other items that they have in their life. And then Jeff introduces me, and I talk a little bit about me and what I did as a professional ball player and how I got there by making good choices. And then I share statistics and talk about the heroin epidemic. And I've lost 3 kids off my Little League baseball team that I coached, one being my son. And then I do a PowerPoint and show famous people. And I talk to the kids and give them statistics. And then at the very end, I show a picture of my son and talk about what I went through for 10 months, my wife and I and our 2 daughters, and the hell we live. And I talked to the kids about what to do, what not to do, things to look for, red flags and signs. And that's basically our show. It takes about an hour and 20 minutes to an hour and a half. And we've had great response with it. The kids love it. And at the end of every show, I tell kids, I'm here to help you today, whether it be you, a friend, mom or dad, aunt or uncle. I can get you help today through some organizations that I know of and I work with. And we get a ton of kids that come up to us after the show, kids crying. I had a girl come up to me Thursday, had just lost her father in February. And she come up to me and said, hi, could I talk to you? And she started crying. And I sat there and held this girl for 5-10 minutes. And we talked. And it's just devastating, even to the kids. There's the flip side of this also is that these parents are getting involved in this.
Right.
And thinking, and you know, that the heroin won't bother me, I'll try it. And they're finding out they can't beat it also.
Right. I actually, you know, guy had purchased some heroin. I knew him. And I said, so what are you doing? I'm going to go home and fire up. Mind if I watch? He went home with his wife and 2 kids as they tranced about the house while he sat at the dinner table and fired up and then started to drool and slump over. He now has hepatitis. His wife has hepatitis. It's pretty much destroyed the family. I think he's kicked the drug, but the liver damage is done. And I guess you could say he got off light. You know, it's interesting when people tell you these programs don't work, Joe. I attended one of these when I was very young, done at a church, and it was weird. When I look back on it after listening to you talk, I flash back to when I was there. And what I remember was the x-ray picture of Janis Joplin's arm with broken heroin needles in it. this has been around for a long time, and it'll always be around because human beings seek to escape, and drugs and mind expanding, all the other cute terms you want to use. But, you know, this inherently destructive behavior, and when you think you're going to live forever, as you alluded to before, I can do this, I can control this, I'm not everybody else. But, you know, when you go to these kids and you deliver this message, Joe, and like I said, they say these things don't work. Well, that's bull. But the other thing is, those kids, you being you and not being a bull, a BS artist, kids are really good BS detectors.
Yes, they are. They very well detect that. And the whole premise and the whole part, I think, of why we get to the kids is that all we're offering them is true optimism about what life can be about and not needing these drugs. Sharing my personal story is something that's very hard for me to do, but it's therapeutic. I get very emotional every day before the show and after, but I'm trying to reach out and help kids because we are losing 2 kids a day in our metropolitan area, and nationwide it's even more so. And we do not need to keep losing these kids to this evil heroin, because you don't have to do it. They have a choice. This is not like we're sending them off to war and they're being killed in war. This is something that's right here in our backyard. It's a choice these kids are making, that they're making it sound like it's nice to do. This right. is not something that's nice to do. This will change you. It will take your life. It turns you into somebody that I didn't even know my son anymore. Some of the things that he did because of what the heroin does to your mind.
Right. And we've glamorized it. There's been that component. And then many people that glamorize it get out barely alive and then try to realize what they've done and try to, you know, make up for it. And I think maybe the seal is broken. There's no going back in many things. And the fact that we lied about it in health classes for years about drugs. We didn't tell the truth when we were teaching kids. And they thought, well, if you're lying about that, you're probably lying about this. And I noticed in one of the articles I read about you, because people say marijuana is not a gateway drug. And you say, yeah, it is. And of course it is.
They're all gateway drugs, prescription painkillers, alcohol, marijuana. It's not just the marijuana. And I reference to kids, like, if you want to start out drinking, you start out riding a Schwinn bicycle, and by the time you get to heroin, you're in a Ferrari, and you're going to crash and burn.
Right. Joe, you alluded to this. I wonder very often, because you're made of stronger stuff than I am, sir. Joe Richardson's joining us this morning, for our SIU alum and former professional baseball player. How long did you play for Boston?
I played for 5 years with the Red Sox.
Yeah? How'd you like that?
I loved it. It was a great experience. I was a catcher, so I got to catch Roger Clemens and some other big leaguers that, made quite a name for themselves. And it was just a fantastic opportunity, and I just love the game still today. And it was just a fantastic run that I had.
But, you know, being out there, like that, with everybody looking at you, you have to grow some skin because of the reaction of the fans. I can't help but think, but some of that was preparation for what you're doing now, because there is a level of scrutiny when you go up and share intimate details of your son's life, your family's life, whether it's a room full of children or room for adults or a room full of heroin addicts. Not just anyone is built for this, and I think probably by now you know this, that you've been turned into a tool.
Yes, and I, unfortunately, Tom, I have been. And now, and I tell the kids, because we have questions, kids often ask this question, would you be doing this if you hadn't lost your son? And the answer is no, because I did not realize this was out there and how bad this has gotten. But now I tell the kids, this isn't about my son. This was because of my son that I do what I do, but this is about you. I'm wanting to educate you. I want to help you. I want to empower you to make better and lots of better choices than you're making if you're struggling or if you're thinking about doing this. And that's my goal. That's what we try to do. And it's been tough, but I know I'm making a difference.
Right.
Jeff and I are making a difference. We're reaching kids, and we're helping kids understand this is not an option.
the Awakened Project. Now, I know you're working in the St. Louis area, and I'd been told you were moving into Illinois. You're from O'Fallon. If somebody's listening to this program this morning, they're an educator, there's a superintendent, they're a school, they have a church program, they want to do something and they want to talk to you, can you make it to Southern Illinois? Is this something, someplace you're willing to go? Is this in your repertoire?
Absolutely. We will go anywhere to save a kid. We'll never turn anyone away. We're going to be going to Park City, Utah later this year, and we're going to be going to other towns in our area, but we've been in four different states, and we will not let anybody go unheard or unthought of, because like I said, this is killing way too many of our kids on a regular basis in every part of the country. We would love to come to your school no matter where it's at. All you have to do is give us a call and we will come.
You know, it's interesting. I talked to Illinois State Trooper Joey Watson or Brian Murr at the Williamson County Sheriff's Department or any of a long list of mayors and police officers who have become my friends over the years. And we kind of come up with an idea for a program, all right, how we're going to attack this issue or that or whatever the case. And we always seem to surmise our conversations and our efforts. We don't know that we saved anybody's life today, but maybe one, and one's good enough for me. That we'd like it to be more, but that's part of the problem, the measurable. You don't know, right? You can't put up a graph and say, this is how many people we saved today.
Correct.
But it doesn't mean you don't go out there and swing at the ball. And this is another thing that I bet you and I agree on. Sports gives you that ability to go, I'm still going to swing at the ball, damn it.
Correct. We're still going to try. We're still going to go. And like you said, if it's just one kid at a school, it was worth the trip. But I can promise you we're making a difference with more than just one kid.
Right. And you know what's interesting is I always hope for the second level of effect. And that is the one that you say realizes it, knows in some way, feels it. And maybe in themselves, maybe they stopped where they were in that curve of gateway drug to gateway event to gateway event. And that their friends and peers see that. There are people who look among their peer group and see people making good decisions and decide to go with them. There are leaders and followers in this life, and if you can create leaders that lead in the right direction, your second order effect gets carried on. You've created a legacy effect.
Correct.
At least that's what we hope we do anyway. Joe, people want to get a hold of you about Awaken, Awaken Project. Where should they reach out?
They can call me directly. My number is 636-284-1777, and my phone is always on, and anyone can call. We do church groups. We do middle school. We do high school. We do YMCAs. We have been in every form you could think of to get our message out to educate. Right. We've done a lot of school functions where at nighttime it's open to the public for families to come. So we're ready and able and willing to go anywhere we need to help kids and educate them so we quit losing our youth.
Mozinga is a great way. Adding the music, you got to have a little showbiz now. It's the kids. They have short attention spans. You got to use everything you can to reach out to them, too. So best of luck, Joe. Best of luck.
And Bart. I also encourage people to go to our website. It's awakenproject.org. And you can see what we do there. We have a promo video, and you can get a good idea of what it's like.
Joe Richardson, a former SIU alum, former Red Sox player, and now a warrior in the fight against heroin. Joe, thanks for your time this morning, pal, and best of luck. I mean that.